Welcome, Pocketoid, listening now. Here it is. My name's Jordan/Jackal27. This is a podcast about handheld video games, and with me, co-host.
Hi, podcast listen. I, Addison, Crackety J. Jones. Yes.
Oh, we're so drunk. But not actually. So, yeah. This is a podcast about handheld video games. And we're going to talk about them, I guess, now.
So, oh, no.
Addison, have you been playing anything?
Never. Never anything.
I have.
I have, too.
Do you want me to talk about any my stuff or your stuff?
I want you to talk about my stuff.
Okay, you talk. So, this week, Addison's been playing, I predict, Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ni No Kuni?
Nope.
Guild Wars 2.
Yep.
And that's all I got.
I've been playing those things that you said with your mouth. I've also been playing Bit Trip Beat because...
What?
Yeah. No, not Bit Trip Beat. Bit Trip Runner.
So to say because it's 2008?
No. I mean, it's almost as bad, but I've been playing Bit Trip Runner.
Yeah.
One of my friends got Runner 2, and I was watching him play it, and I was just like, oh my gosh, and I wanted it really bad. But
I have it. It's great.
I knew I had too many games and that I wouldn't really be playing it, so I was like, I will wait until a Steam sale, and I will buy it then.
Hey, but, you gotta get it for your Wii U!
I don't know. But I, at the same time, was like, oh, but I want to kind of play it now. So I've been playing some Bit Trip Runner to feed that feeling, I guess. I don't know what works.
Wii U has leaderboards. And mm-hmm. And Smurfy yeah. McGee is really good.
Yeah, he probably is. I'm really bad at video games, though. So I don't really need that. I don't need to be reminded how bad I am. Oh, wait. Yeah, I remember now. Okay. So, I got Sakura Samurai on sale.
Oh, yeah, when you were drunk.
Well, a little
bit.
That
was the best text ever. I told my wife, and she didn't think it was near as funny as I did.
But I also... to be fair, I was also really tired. So, I was like... I remembered back on it, and I was like, oh, yeah. Because I had my 3DS open... And I was downloading the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon demo. And I remember seeing on the eShop, oh, Sakura Samurai is on sale. And so I kept, like, falling asleep and waking up 2 seconds later to, like, press the next button. And so, like, the whole process of buying Sakura Samurai took, like, 30 minutes. Because I would, like, press... next, and then fall asleep, and then wake up, and then
woke
next.
Up in the morning, and you were just like, I bought Sakura Samurai.
Yeah, I like opened my 3DS because I remember getting the demo of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna play that. And I was like, wait, what is this other one? Oh, yeah, I bought Sakura Samurai. So I've been playing that a little bit, and that game is another game that reminds me that I am bad at video games.
You'll pick it up. Once you get the timing down, no big deal.
Man.
Whenever I first started playing it, I was like, dude, I suck at this. I got, like, frustrated. But once you get the timing down, yeah, you'll be fine.
I hope so, because that, like, little mini game where the Kappa's like, hey, slice these watermelons in half.
I'm still bad at that, and I've beaten it twice, and all the challenges.
I can only get, like, two or three.
Yeah.
And... like, I'll be like, what? How is that not in half? But it's like, oh, you didn't get it. Go eat a cucumber. And for once, I actually have some cell phone games to talk about.
Ooh.
If you have an Android device, I have a couple games to recommend. The first is a puzzle game. And let me make sure I get the name right. It is 7x7, or 7x7, just to make sure you understand. Sorry, what is going on here?
You're off the internets.
I was reading a Skype message.
Oh.
Anyways, the way it works, and it's very minimalist and just a very clean layout of a game. Like, it's really nice to look at. It's nothing super fancy, but it's cool. You have a board of squares, and random colors will be put on the squares, and you can drag a color across to any other square, but you can't go through other squares that are already filled in with a color, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay. So, basically, it's like a checkerboard, and each a bunch of squares will be filled in with a color, and you can't go through those squares. So you have to, like, trace along in between squares to get a square where you want, and you match up four of a color to make it disappear. But every time you drag a color to a new spot, it will put in more random colors into the map. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It makes total sense once you see it, but it is kind of hard to explain.
Like a lot of puzzle games are, usually.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. And it gets harder as you go. Like, once you've cleared so many lines, it'll start boosting up the challenge mode. And, you know, you got your high scores, so you can try to beat your high score or your friend's high score. And you'll have, like, little power-ups, like being able to move through squares, but they're very rare that you get to use them. And it's a free game, so, I mean, not much to really risk there.
Get it, it's free.
It's free. And then, also, a game that Evan would appreciate is Battle Cats.
Yes!
Have you heard of this?
No.
So loud. It's great. It is a tower defense game. But you're attacking the other player's towers. Mm-hmm. And you have different types of cats, and your money is constantly building up, and you can spend money to rank up to make your money start generating faster, and you also have a giant laser on top of your tower. And, like I said, you've got different cats, and you send them out by spending money on them, and you just send them out to attack the opponent's cats and their tower, and, I mean, that's it, basically.
Cool.
You can get experience. You get experience after each level you play, and you can go back and play older levels to get more experience, but you don't get as much as you did the first time you played it, and you can use that experience to upgrade your cats and make them stronger and have new skills and stuff.
Upgrade your cats.
It's really fun. Currently I have just the standard cat and a tank cat. It looks like a mix between like a giraffe and a cat. It's just like a really long cat. And then I have like a sword cat that has like a sword and shield, and then a ninja cat, and they just go out there and wreck face. It's great.
Of course.
Game is also free, so get it, you dingus.
Wow.
Let's see. Well, we're gonna talk about the Mystery Dungeon demo later.
We can start talking about it now, I don't care.
Well, I'm trying to think if I played anything else. Not really.
No.
Oh. I did play something on my Vita. It kind of relates to a news story, but I mean, I can talk about it now, I guess. Currently on the Vita, like, you don't even have to have PlayStation Plus or anything. It's just part of the Vita 1 year anniversary. They're giving out four PSP games, and I've played three of them so far. I'll start with the worst one, in my opinion. The worst one, in my opinion, is maybe I just don't understand it very well, and granted, I haven't played it a whole lot, but it's this puzzle game called Pyoyama. Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's kind of like Wario's Woods if you just kind of shifted it 45 degrees. But hey, it's free. And like I said, these have all been PSP games. I got Patchwork Heroes. Are you familiar with that one?
That sounds really familiar, actually.
You play as like a little guy on basically, I think they're like aircrafts. Anyone that like knows these games are probably like yelling at me because I'm probably getting all these games I've only played for a little bit, just enough to give kind of impressions. And you scoot around while there's like bullets being shot, and you hold X to like cut through like this mast that you're on, and you have to cut off a certain percentage of it to clear the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just trying to avoid the enemy fire and cut off a huge chunk of the map, and it gets increasingly difficult because, you know, you're cutting off these huge areas and you're you know, decreasing the amount of space that you have to move around in.
Mm.
So it's actually a lot of fun. I'm enjoying that one from what I've played. And then the one game I was probably the most excited about to see be listed as free was Patapon.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that game?
Yeah, dude. I remember that. Patapon. It's got the little black, not the little black guys, but the little, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. for those of you not familiar, Patapon is like a rhythmic strategy game. It's probably the best way I could phrase it. Your little guys will kind of do a chant or mantra or whatever, and you have to press the buttons on your Vita to in rhythm with their chant. And they'll do different chants for different actions. Like, one chant will move them forward, one chant will make them start attacking, and so you'll have to switch between chants and kind of memorize them to move your tribe around and keep them from dying. It's really interesting. And it also reminded me that I get Patapon and Locoroco mixed up a lot.
I used to do the same thing, actually.
Like, at first I like both games.
Yeah.
But at first I was like, yeah, Patapon, I love this game. And then as I started playing it, I was like, no, I have never played this game. They're both... Locoroco is a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, it is. It's super fun.
So, yeah. Great game. And the last one that is free currently, I haven't played it yet. Really looking forward to it. But Wild Arms is free.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's a pretty fun game. Not the best, but it's fun.
I don't know. It's a good classic PS1 RPG.
Yeah. There's a reason it's a classic.
So I'm going to start that at some point, but I mean...
You got lots of stuff to play.
I'm in the middle of so many RPGs. Ni No Kuni, Persona 4, Fire Emblem.
Jeez.
Xenogears. Or Xenosaga, I mean.
No, you mean Xenoblade.
Xenoblade. Xeno. Yeah, so video games.
Cool.
Pretty sure that's it now.
Neat. What about the game that you were playing, the late review copy we got?
Oh. Yeah, okay. I also started today playing Nano Assault EX, which is... correct me if I'm wrong, an eShop version of a retail game.
Yeah, it's like a re-release with some like enhanced features.
Yeah, it's got more levels and extra junks and stuff.
It's got enhanced visuals and like you can use the circle controller pro thingy, the Franken nub.
You know, that thing that you can't buy in a store anywhere. Not Fire Emblem, but the Circle Pro. But I have played through, like, the first three stages so far. And it's a lot of fun. It's chock full of content. So much content. I know I just said I've only played through the first three stages, but just looking at the menus, you can just tell that there's a ton of stuff in it. Looks like there's ways to, like, customize your ship, which is pretty cool. And it's easily one of, if not the best-looking 3DS games I've ever played. Plus, the 3D is really, really cool. It's very in-depth. Like, it does a good job of making everything look farther back the way I think they should be doing 3D on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Music is really good. So far, I don't really have, like, any complaints. I'm going to be playing through it some more over the next week or so and hopefully have enough experience by then to give a full-fledged review on it.
Yeah, they were a little late getting us the review copy.
Hey, Jordan.
What?
I've been talking a lot. What do you think about Pokemons?
Oh, yeah, Pokemons.
What do you think is Pokemon?
What? How many Pokemons is people? Have you seen the new Gymquisition?
No.
Or not the newest one, but the last one. Where it was like talking about, it was David Cage, he's talking about how many polygons are emotions. And he's like, but then how many polygons is peoples?
I love when Jim does his David Cage in first.
Yeah, session. It's a whole episode of that, and he's wearing a David Cage mask.
Oh, no. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really funny.
So, I'll have to watch that later.
Yeah. I played the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon demo. I didn't finish it because it's freaking long.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't even know if I finished it. I think maybe it's timed and like it was just like, hey, you've had enough now. Go away.
Yeah, but we played it. Oh, we also played the Castlevania Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate demo.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't on last episode.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't on there. Gosh, so much stuff to talk about this week. So, yeah, we played the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Gates to Infinity demo, and I thought it was pretty cool. So for people who don't know, it's made by Chunsoft. That's what it was. Made by Chunsoft, the guys who make the Sheer and the Wanderer games. They make, like, roguelikes. They made the Chocobo's Dungeon games. They made Nightmare of Druaga on the PS2, if you ever played that. One of my favorite roguelikes, really awesome game. And, of course, Sheer and the Wanderer, most people consider that the best roguelike of all time. And they're all part of the same series, essentially, in Japan called, what is it, like, Fugichi no Mystery Dungeon or something like that. And so, like, Pokemon is just a spinoff series of that. It's just, like, taking their series that they're known for, which is, like, you know, there's a Dragon Quest version, which is Tornico, and there's a Final Fantasy version that's Chocobo's Dungeon and stuff like that, and then throwing Pokemon into it. And I've never played any of them, because I didn't realize that until just recently, that they were the same thing as Sheer and the Wanderer. So I was like, oh, cool, I'll try out this demo. I bet it's going to be awesome. And it's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. It's fun.
Yeah.
I just noticed on the icon, when you're hovering over it, on the 3DS menu, that Snivy and Oshawott have little bow ties on.
Yep.
And Axew and Tepig and Pikachu have handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
But
I think it's fun. Like, the gameplay is fun. My only problem is, you barely play it.
Yeah, it's a reading simulator.
And you know what? You can't...
Actually, not even a simulator. Text. You just read.
The thing that really, really pissed me off was that you couldn't speed up the text, and it goes so slow. Like, you can't, like, hit A to, like, skip the text all into one block. You can't set the text to fast. Like, there's nothing. And I'm like, I don't care about the story. It's a story about Pokemons.
Oh, that's a good story, man. It's like... Ah, man, I don't even know what was going on. One time I was just a human, Now I'm a Pokemon. I'm on this beach. What's going on? I don't know. I'm going to help this guy build a house.
And it's so wordy. Like, it's like, I mean, it's like effing Metal Gear Solid. What is happening? This is Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. And that was the thing that kept driving me crazy, is like, I would get to the dungeon parts and I'd be like, dude, this is really fun. And then I would get done in like 30 minutes or 20 minutes.
I know. Well, time to read.
Time to read for another 2 hours. But
I just think, I do kind of like the dialogue on some of it, though.
Oh, yeah. It has some funny writing and stuff.
It's just really weird for me to see all these Pokemon talking about stuff.
Yeah. I think it's cool you can pick which Pokemon you want to be and everything, too.
Yeah. It's like, what do I look like again? I can't remember anything, but I totally remember what Pokemon I look like when I'm a Pokemon.
Okay. Even though I've never been a Pokemon before, and I'm suddenly getting transformed into a Pokemon right now.
What's my partner look like? I forget.
I've never met them, and they're just about to wash up on the beach.
What did you pick in the demo? Like, what Pokemon were you, and who did you pick as your partner?
I picked Axu, whatever, little dragon guy.
Yeah.
I love his final form. And then I picked Snivy.
I did it in reverse. I picked to play Snivy and had Axew as my partner.
There you go. It was you and me bro-ing it up.
Yeah.
Pokemon Land.
Pokemon.
I was really excited for this game. I was thinking I was going to buy it, but I'll probably just wait for reviews. Wait and see what like the actual final word is from people before I pick it up. So, because I mean I love roguelikes, and the gameplay on here seemed like it could be really, really fun. Like going through those dungeons and stuff. Especially, like, I could picture it just, like, swapping out moves and having to figure out ways to survive with only, like, you know, a certain amount of power points to do attacks and everything inside dungeons. Like, that could be really cool. But if each dungeon is as easy and short as they were in the demo, like, no way. Sorry, guys.
That, 3D wasn't super great, I didn't think.
I thought it was pretty good. But then again, I'm also coming off of playing Etrian Odyssey 4, which I will talk about later, whose 3D is horrible.
What do you think of Castlevania?
It was fun. I hated it in some parts and liked it a lot in other parts.
For some reason, I had so much trouble at that first mini boss.
Me too.
I don't know why, but I died so much that I was like, screw it, and I turned it off and then came back like the next day and played through the demo.
Yeah. The things I liked were, I really liked the atmosphere, and I thought like the art and the 3D was really pretty and mm-hmm. all that stuff. I don't, as long as that's not like the final mainline Castlevania series look from now on, I'm totally okay with that. I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I liked some of the enemies. I thought the combat was pretty fun for what it is. I mean, it's basically just
I like the combat. I think war. Yeah, for what they're working with, I think they did a great job with it.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much knew, you know, it's not going to be regular old Castlevania. It's probably just going to be linear God of War Castlevania.
It's still side-scrolling, though.
Yeah, so. But things I hated were the music that like, peaked like crazy. Drives me crazy. I mean, just drives me insane. I really hated the boss fight. How, not even how, like, I kept dying, but how it kept telling me everything I needed to do. It was like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this, like, little event. And it was just like, what? Where's the fun in that? Like,
yeah.
The fun of a boss battle is figuring out what to do and figuring out enemy patterns. It's like, when you're showing me each little thing that the boss does, like, that's not fun. So, that bugged me. And the quick time events bugged me as well, which they usually don't, but they did on here. So. Meh. But it was okay.
It's pretty much how I felt.
Yeah. I'll probably pick it up when it's like 10 or 15 bucks.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So.
It's not bad, just there's other stuff to play.
Yeah.
Tell me about some Etrian Odyssey.
Okay, I will. Well, let me talk about some smaller stuff first, and then I'll get to it.
Okay.
Get these other games out of the way. I've got two. Well, I'll just talk about some smaller things I played before I get to my reviews. Played some more Fire Emblem. Not a lot. I need to finish it, but I just don't want it to end. I'm, like, avoiding the ending, basically. I bought Legendary Starfy for the DS. Played a little bit of that. It's a pretty fun.
For, like, $5?
Yeah, I bought it for $5. I bought this new iPhone RPG called Dungeon Plunder, and it's a randomly generated kind of roguelike thing, but all the battles are done in slot machine style, and it's pretty fun. I like it. I think I got it for like $1, $2.
Nice. But,
it's a pretty neat game. So
doesn't sound as good as Battle Cats, but
yeah. And I bought System Shock 2. Never played Never played that game before.
I have never played it either, but I'm kind of jealous.
It is good. I got it for like, what is it, like $10, something like that. I don't know why. I think one night I was just going crazy, and I was like, I want to play all this stuff on my PC, and then I went to Good Old Games, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy this right now. And I did.
Nice.
And I played a bunch of indie games and stuff on my PC. There's a new game out called Anodyne. It's like an indie RPG. There was a really cool sale going on where he was allowing anyone to pay whatever they wanted above $1 for it. And but I think the regular price is like $10, but it's totally worth $10. It's like a kind of a, imagine Earthbound mixed with a little bit of the atmosphere of Chrono Trigger, kind of the futuristic, like, barren atmosphere of Chrono Trigger, whenever you go into, like, the future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mixed with the gameplay of, like, Zelda. So, it's kind of
weird. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's really, it has the Earthbound weirdness, like, a really pretty pixel art, and it plays like an old school Zelda, more like Zelda 1. But it's really, really cool. I like it a lot.
So, I would play that with my hands.
Yeah. Yeah, you should check that game out. Once again, it's called Anodyne. Anodyne. But he ran like a promotion with Pirate Bay, because a bunch of people were pirating his game, and then he's like, I'll just turn it into a promotion. And then he managed to make a ton of money off of that. So, pretty cool guy. And then I also bought Runner 2. It's a really effing good game.
Tell me some more about it. It has, like, boss battles and stuff this time around.
Does it? Yeah, I fought one boss. I've only fought one. You just have to, like, the first boss battle was really cool. It was, like, a dude shooting cannonballs at you, and you'd have to, like, dodge them in a certain way, and he'd shoot, like, high.
Yeah, I watched my friend play through that one. It was pretty neat.
It was really cool. It's awesome. I mean, it plays like original BitTrip Runner, except way smoother, and,
it's way prettier.
Yeah, it's way prettier. Yeah, I love playing it on my Wii U, and it's a fun game, like, to show off my Wii U, too, because it's just, like, unique, something most people haven't seen, and, like, I can just pop it on. People are like, wow, this is really cool, so. Not to mention that my wife, like, loves the music, which is always nice. But, and then the stuff for review. My main things that I've been playing. I also played some more Pickdone 2. That's a good game. We reviewed that last
time. Pickdone 2.
Pickdone.
Pickdone 2.
Okay, so first game I'm going to review is a little eShop title with the best name ever called Kersploosh.
Kersploosh.
Kersploosh is $3. It's for the 3DS only. It is a game about dropping rocks into a well.
That's worth $1 per syllable.
Yeah. So in Kersploosh, you can pick from different rocks or objects. You can pick like a rubber ball or a rock or like a diamond or whatever, and you know, all kinds of stuff. And then you drop, you know, there's 10 stages. And it drops it down the well, and the only way that you control your little rock is you just move it around the screen with the analog nub, trying to dodge obstacles and, you know, go through the middle of donuts, which make you speed up, and collect balloons that you do. It's weird. It's a weird.
Well, that sounds pretty weird.
You go into this well, and there are cookies and pizzas and donuts and lava and all kinds of stuff, but I don't know. I had an okay time with it, but the game's really short. I beat all the stages in less than an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're supposed to play it for high scores and stuff. Like, it's kind of a high score-driven game, but there's no online leaderboards. The only leaderboards are through Street Pass, which is kind of dumb. And I don't know. There's just not much motivation to keep playing it. I mean, maybe to collect more of the like objects that you can drop, but I don't really care. And I already collected, like, half of them just on my first playthrough. So it's just, like, meh. But, yeah, Kersploosh, it's okay, I guess.
It's only $3.
It's only $3, but I don't know. Even, like, Gunman and Clive I played like for 2 hours and I had multiple difficulties, 2 or 3 hours. Or, you know, I don't know. It's just like, it doesn't even have any, like, anything else. It's just, like, those 10 stages and that's it. And then, you know, you can try and get, like, a higher score by getting through them faster or whatever. So, I'll give it, like, a 6.5. So, kind of bummed out about that one. It was the one that I paid my own money for, so.
Yeah, I mean, you really gonna miss that $3 that much, though.
Not really, but I mean, I could have spent it on, you know, Mole Mania or something, which is a good virtual console game.
I'm not familiar with that one, I don't think.
It's a Shigeru Miyamoto puzzle game where you play as a mole for the Game Boy.
Good.
Next game I got to review is ATV Wild Ride 3D, made by Renegade Kid, the guys who made Mutant Muds and Dimensium 1 and 2 and all that. This game was originally, I've heard a lot of people comment on like how bad the graphics are and how it looks like an N64 game, essentially. Well, it was originally a DS game, and they just kind of up-resed it, made it look like quite a bit nicer, actually, in reality, and ported it to the 3DS. But ATV Wild Ride 3D, as you can imagine, is a racing game where you race with, what do you think you race with, Addison?
Hoverboards?
No, it's unicycles.
Yeah.
No, you race with...
Hovercycles.
Yeah, hovercycles. You race with ATVs. This game is, I believe, $8. What can I say about ATV Wild Ride? It is a racing game on ATVs. You can pick different vehicles with different stats. You can pick different racers. It has punk rock music. Kind of reminds me of, like, rock or something.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It really, the music, I mean, it does kind of remind me of Tony Hawk. And I didn't mind the music so much because I liked punk rock as a kid. But the only thing that bothered me is there's like only like 5 or 6 songs. And it can get really repetitive, which is kind of irritating. The gameplay is pretty solid.
Let me ask you something about this game. Can you do a kickflip?
No, you're on an ATV. You can't kickflip an ATV.
Well, why not?
Because it's an ATV. It's a giant motorized vehicle.
Yeah, but why can't you kickflip it?
Oh, shut up. Let me finish my review. But speaking of kickflips, you can do tricks in this game. And that's kind of what the mechanics of racing are all built around. So you can do 3 types of tricks. Like, you go off ramps a lot, and you can, like, crouch down and then shoot up, press up at the last minute to kind of jump higher. And if you press R and one of the 4 directions, you'll do a medium trick. If you press L in one of the 4 directions, you'll do a light trick. And if you press R and L together in one of the 4 directions, you'll do, like, a big time-heavy trick.
Like kickflip?
Yeah, and each one of those takes, like, you know, more time to, like, accomplish, so you need more air to do them. But, you know, the bigger the trick you do, the more of your boost meter you gain. I think it's called, like, a NOS meter or something like that. And then you can, like, boost ahead of your opponents and stuff. And so the gameplay isn't that bad, especially if you use the D-pad to steer. It really plays pretty solid. The problems that I have with the game are in its stage design most of the time. I've run into a few glitches, like where I've glitched out of the stage, like fallen off the edge because I jumped so high. I've jumped so high a bunch of times where I've like flown out of the arena, which is really dumb that I'm like able to do that off of just.
You're just too radical for the game.
Yeah,
you've got too many super rad ATV kickflip skills.
What else? I've also, I don't know, there's just been a couple things like that. And there's this stage, okay? I think it's the Canada stage, where the only, like, you know, every other stage is, like, mountains and trees all around you, like, blocking you off. In the Canada stage, it's only these little, like, paper walls. Like, think the Wario stage from Mario Kart 64. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, a, kind of like a, you know, it's like a dirt stage and there's, like, a stadium and everything.
Yeah.
Except that, like, you can fly over these, like, 7-foot-high walls constantly. And you're just doing that over and over. And even the NPCs are doing it. And it's just really irritating. And when I'm seeing the NPCs, like, crash into walls all the time and, like, fly over off of the levels and stuff just like I am, that has to make me think, like, okay, there's a problem with the level design here. So that really, really bugged me and kind of killed a lot of the fun for me. Because I'd get into some of the higher stages. And I would just get so frustrated when stuff like that would happen, and I would just be flying out of the stage over and over, that I would just be like, "All right, I'm sorry, I'm done." But really the main pull of this game is that it has online multiplayer for a, you know, an $8 eShop racing game. And I have to say that the online multiplayer works really well. Like, in all the matches I played, I didn't have any lag. It was pretty fun to play, as long as you're not playing that stupid Canada stage. And, yeah, the only problem I had with online multiplayer is finding someone to play with. I had to let my 3DS sit there for, you know, a few minutes before I would find anybody. And that was on, like, a Friday night, you know. So, and
that's weird that they, like, got that part right. But
yeah, it's really weird. I mean, the online multiplayer is plagued with some of the same problems as the single player as far as, like, the tracks go and stuff. But just, like, the execution of playing online is just, you know, it's always more fun to play a racing game online than it is against the computer. And it just, you know, it works well. There's just other parts of the game that just don't work so well. I enjoyed ATV Wild Ride, but it definitely has some parts of it that are just kind of irritating or, you know, seem like they could have used some more time. Like, I really feel like the stages could have been thought out a bit better. As far as, like, you know, if I do a high jump off this ramp, like, I'm going to fly way off the track and go from first to fourth, you know, and there's no way I would have been able to tell that. So, and just different stuff like that. There's even, like, ramps where I won't even do, like, the high jump, and I'll just fly off the ramp, and, like, because I hit it at the wrong angle, I'll fly, you know, off the course. And that really drives me crazy when it feels like there's not much, like, precision to it, you know? But I would give ATV Wild Ride a solid 7. It's a decent game. You might dig ATV Wild Ride.
How big are the stages?
Well, there's... You've got, I think it's four or five stages, but then there are extended versions of each of those. They're pretty big, like your average, like, kind of smaller Mario Kart course, I guess. And then the extended versions would be like your average large Mario Kart course, except using the same kind of assets from that stage. It's not a terrible game, but it definitely has some issues that could have been ironed out and should have been ironed out. Yeah, so... That's ATV Wild Ride 3D. And the last game, the main game I have to talk about, is Etrian Odyssey 4.
I was hoping it was another iSpot game.
This time it's iSpot Italy. No, it's Etrian Odyssey 4. I played the Etrian Odyssey 4 demo a while back, and I was kind of pretty meh on it. But then, like, and you didn't really dig it that much, I remember.
Yeah.
But I kept, like, seeing these reviews, and, like, every review I saw was a 9, a 9, a 9. Like, every single review I saw was a 9, and I was just like, and they would explain it, and it would be like, you know, they're these brutal, hard, like, first-person dungeon crawlers with really smart enemy design and boss design, where you really have to use strategy and all this different stuff. I'm like, what? This sounds like everything I've ever wanted. Like, why am I not loving this game? But I couldn't figure it out.
And, didn't you play the demo?
Yeah, I played the demo a couple times, and I had borrowed the first or second Etrian Odyssey one time from a friend, and really did not like it. And so I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to shell out the $40, bite the bullet, and I'm going to make myself enjoy this game no matter what. Because I know, like, it's a quality game that I should like, and I'm just going to do my best to like it because I really want an awesome RPG for my 3DS. And so... I bought Etrian Odyssey 4, and pretty much right after the parts that the demo covered was when it really hooked me. Like, right after, you know, because I played through the whole demo, and I was like, yeah, that was okay. But right after those parts is where everything gets really cool, where it stops being kind of easy and kind of like holding your hand, and you sort of have to figure things out for yourself. And, you know, you have to use, like, a lot of strategy and, like, moving around the field and everything. And so, I don't know. It just really hooked me right after that. And, man, where do I start with this game? So, if you don't know about Etrian Odyssey 4, it's a first-person dungeon crawler. But you're not really, like, going straight through a dungeon like you would in, like, Legend of Grimrock or something. There's, like, the dungeons are, like, forests or, you know, whatever. So there's a world map where you're on an airship. And you'll go into, like, you know, a forest and, like, explore the forest and go into different levels of the forest and, you know, fight monsters and all this different stuff. And it's not really focused on the story or even, like, the characters so much as just, like, you know, the exploration in the world itself. Because, like, the characters are just, like, you know, just, like, different classes that you pick. It's like, oh, I want this, I don't even know how to pronounce some of them, Landsknecht or whatever. I want
what?
It's mage and this healer. And I'm going to pick their portrait and name them. And that's, like, the extent of their character in your game. But it's cool because, like, in your mind, like, while you're playing it, it's sort of like if you ever played any of, you know, these kinds of games like Eye of the Beholder when you were a kid, like on the PC, or if you ever played, I don't know, even like a D&D game, it's sort of the same thing where in your mind, like, this character becomes your own character and you start, like, imagining, like, this is what this person's personality is like. And there's even, like, little events inside the dungeons where, like, certain things will happen to certain characters and you can just kind of imagine, like, oh, this is how my character would react to that. And I don't know. There's, like, that element of imagination to this game, like, that a lot of games don't have. And I kind of get a Crimson Shroud vibe from it in that way. It's like, you know, it doesn't point everything out to you. It's like those games that you would play on your PC where you still had to use your imagination, or whenever you would play a tabletop RPG where you had to use your imagination. But also it's, like, really brutal hard, and there's, you know, all kinds of, you know, reward in that Dark Souls type of, like, you know, I've overcome this obstacle. And yeah, so I really enjoy it. I will say that there are a couple of things that annoy me. First of all, the 3D is absolutely terrible, which is really disappointing because the whole game is about immersion and, like, you know, the world around you and stuff. And then the 3D looks awful. Like, the graphics are pretty, but the 3D is absolutely terrible. Like, even in battles or whatever, it's just like, it's like all the objects that aren't, like, little text blocks or portraits, it's like, are just one, like, layer. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it doesn't pop out at all.
Yeah, like, it doesn't pop. Like, it's like these objects, like these 3D enemies that should be kind of, like, rounded or whatever, or popping out, aren't doing that at all. They're just kind of, like, one flat layer, it looks like, almost. You know, there's, like, a little bit, but not very much. And it's just, that part's really disappointing to me, because, you know, like, I know you don't really care about the 3D. Like, you barely ever play with it on at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, for me, like, I love it. Like, I love the 3D. And so that, and I, you know, and it, I don't know. That just bugged me a lot. But yeah. Etrian Odyssey 4 is a great game. It seems like there's a ton of content because I've already played for like 15 hours and I've only played about like 10% of the game or something like that. It said I've only seen like 10% of the enemies.
Wow. How long do you say you've been playing it?
Like 15 hours.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it has quite a bit of content, which I know that these games are usually pretty long. And yeah, I haven't even been like grinding or anything. I've just been like playing along and stuff. So
yeah, I know AKD has really been enjoying it.
Yep. I mean, here's my thing. If it sounds like, if you read the reviews and you see, like, the stuff about the game and you say to yourself, like, I really feel like this is something I should enjoy, like, that I would like, I would say go for it, because I feel like it is a well-constructed, well-thought-out game that eventually you will latch onto it and like it. Like, there's just little things in it that just kind of make you go, that was really cool when that just happened. Like, this dungeon, okay, where you have to use these objects to basically break these, like, ice things, or maybe it's these fire things, and I've just heard someone talk about this. And it's like these items that you find in the dungeon, like, will break these little obstacles that you have to get past, okay? The boss, he keeps throwing more of those obstacles up, and they power him up and make the fight, like, super hard. But, like, if you have any more of those items left that you found in the dungeon, you can just, like, break his obstacles. And it doesn't tell you that at all. It never, like, hints that. No one ever mentions it. It's just something that you can figure out on your own. And so it's, like, you know, it's, like, solving.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You don't really see stuff like that in games very often anymore.
And so, I don't know, it doesn't handhold, and, you know, it really feels like, I don't know, you're exploring and discovering all these things on your own, because it just kind of happens, wandering through a dungeon for, like, the fifth time, and you'll walk over a tile you've already been on, and some random event will trigger, where you'll find, like, an empty knapsack on the ground, and you'll reach into it, and a spider will come out and bite your hand, and you'll lose 5 HP, and then, like, eventually, like, you'll get the spider out of there and then, like, you know, get a bunch of items for it. And there's just random little story events like that. But And it would be neat to see that kind of stuff animated rather than, like, through text. But it's, like, I don't know. Something about that is kind of a cool thing that you don't really see in games anymore.
Yeah, that does sound very Crimson Shroud-esque.
So, if Etrian Odyssey 4 sounds like something you dig, you'll probably dig it. That's all I'll say. Yeah, I wonder...
If you had to give it a numerical score.
Well, like I said, I've probably only played through like 10, 20% of the game.
Yeah, but I mean, geez, you've already put in like 16 hours. You still don't think you can give like a number?
I think that I would probably give it like an 8.5 is what I would give it. And I mean, maybe that'll increase as I go, because it's like, you know, when I first started it, I was like, yeah, this is like a 7. Yeah, this is an 8, so who knows?
But, so, you hate it, is what you're saying?
No, I really like it.
8 out of 10. I give a Dildos out of pizza.
Yep. Also, it comes with a music and an art book.
It's always nice.
Yeah. But no instruction booklet, which kind of pissed me off.
It'd be really funny if the art book was just text descriptions of a picture.
Oh, that was the other thing I didn't like about the game, is I really don't like... some of the character designs, like, some of them feel kind of exploitative in that, like, you know, nubile young girl way. So there's a whole character class, and they're not humans, but they're obviously supposed to be, like, anorexic, like, girls. And, like, they're, like, disgustingly skinny, and that kind of really bothered me. As someone who's counseled people that have eating disorders, that kind of bothered me. But
yeah.
But it's still a great game. I like my characters. And, that's another thing, is the way the characters grow. It has, like, it doesn't have your typical, it has some of your typical classes, but it also has some that are just, like, completely off the wall. Like, some that are more based around, like, status effects and stuff. But status effects in this game are actually useful. It's really cool. You can do all kinds of stuff in this game, and you can play with any party you want to. You can make a whole party of all fortresses, like, all tanks. or you can... of all healers if you wanted, but it's good stuff.
That sounds like just having a Pokemon team of Metapods with Harden.
But I still feel like if you did that, like, your party would still stand a chance. Like, you wouldn't be screwed over. I mean, maybe if you picked all medics, but it's just like, I feel like there's enough branching paths on the skill sets that, like, you could make any party work for you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any other games?
I don't think I do. That was already a lot of stuff, so...
Yeah, we already talked a bunch.
So, let's just, we don't really have a lot of news. I mean...
Let's just, what?
We don't really have a lot of news or anything.
Yeah, no, but... What did you say?
I think that's all I said.
No, you said you wanted, it sounded like... couldn't quite make it up, but you wanted a Pokemon update!
I always freaking fall for it!
I know. I'm really good at that. Okay, so I'm gonna try to have a Pokemon update every episode, even when there's weeks like this where there isn't much. But I got a couple things to talk about, because I... should have talked about it last episode, but I'm pretty sure I didn't. But right now, through the rest of the month, you can go to GameStop with your DS, 3DS, cell phone, WonderSwan, Virtual Boy, and Pokemon Black or White or Black 2 or White 2, and get the legendary Pokemon Meloetta, or however you say its stupid name. It's like a musical note, legendary thing. I don't know. They have too many legendaries every generation now. So yeah, I went and did that. Got one on my black, got one on my white too. And apparently you can also take it to a city in the game. I forget which city, but I mean, they have little... sheets at GameStop that tell you, and you can learn a special move that only that Pokemon can learn. But I mean, It's nothing really that special. It's not that cool of a Pokemon, in my opinion.
Why not? It's a musical note.
Mm-hmm.
It's legendary.
Yeah. Also, Saturday, because I was bored and dating so many women, I watched a stream of Pokemon Smash. Are you familiar with Pokemon Smash, Jordan?
Show in Japan about Pokemans.
That's what they say it is, but let me tell you. I watch Pokemon Smash, and I don't know what that show is. I don't even know what to say. I at times felt like it would help if I spoke Japanese, and then at other times thought, no, probably wouldn't be doing much for me, really. These are the highlights I remember. At one point, there was a guy, and he was unraveling toilet paper with his mouth, and it was like a roll of toilet paper on a pole that two guys were holding, I guess. I don't know why. There was a bunch of people dressed up like Sableye, and they were going around in Japan to different places. I don't know why. Like, the main guy was dressed up like a red one, because I guess he's in, like, the new Pokemon movie coming out.
Wait, red?
Yeah, a red Sableye instead of purple.
Oh, I thought you meant like he's dressed up as like Red, the trainer.
Oh, no.
How is that possible?
There was also like a random kid that was American or European or something. And it was just weird. I was like, wait a minute. How did you get in there? You're not supposed to be there. And like the people in the chat kept mentioning him and being like, what is that kid doing? And then there was like a little girl that everyone in the chat was lovingly referring to as horse teeth. And everyone's freaking out because everyone's waiting for Sylveon's type to be announced.
Uh-huh.
And every single weird thing that would happen, people would just like the toilet paper thing. Toilet paper type confirmed. Horse teeth type confirmed. And just stuff like that throughout the chat. At one point, there was a guy dressed up like Glaceon, the Eevee evolution, and he came out of a room and gave two Japanese guys some ice cream or something, and then they choked. And that was all that happened. And
there was no Pokemon news in that episode?
No. I think they showed...
But you watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing.
That's wonderful.
I think there was, like, a new trailer or something for the movie, maybe. I don't know if it was new or not.
Well, that's great, Addison. What a great way to spend your life.
Yeah. I did it. I did it.
You've done it for all of us.
So, I mean, that was the Pokemon update. Maybe I'll have absolutely nothing to do on a Saturday night again, and watch Pokemon Smash next week.
Oh, the sacrifices we make for this show.
Seriously, just get on Tumblr and look for Pokemon Smash GIFs, because I just don't know. And then another awesome part was watching the Japanese commercials, because, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
great. Yeah. So there's that.
I think the only like other kind of big news was like the fact that they've registered Guild Zero 2 trademarks for the U.S.
Yeah, that was.
But they didn't register Monsters Come on Friday, which is the one we want the most.
But like you said before the show, they also didn't register Aeroporter.
Yeah,
and we'll see.
Also, what's it called? Liberation Maiden's available on the iOS if you don't have a 3DS. So, it's a good game. Check it out.
And the Vita is selling like quadruple what it was now that they give it a price drop.
Yeah, but they don't want that in America. They have too much money, so they're trying to hold back.
You would think that would be some incentive.
Yeah. Well, let's do our questions, and then we'll close it out.
Okay.
Okay, questions. What was our Ask FM question?
It was just, when will we finally get an HD Turrican game?
Well, I thought that just got announced today.
I'm going to answer it with now.
Like, I thought that literally just got announced today. When was that question asked?
Like 2 weeks ago.
That's amazing. You heard it here first, folks.
We did it. You're welcome.
Makes your dreams come true.
You should just lick us.
Mm-hmm.
We make things happen.
Yep. Browner asked us, would you agree a snow leopard is effective against moose? Also, okay. Butt monsters have feelings too.
That was all related to us playing Guild Wars 2 last night.
Okay.
We were doing this mission where we turned into snow leopards, and for the mission it was like, hey, now that you're snow leopards, honor the snow leopard god or whatever by killing a bunch of prey.
God, I don't want to play that game.
And Jess...
Is it fun?
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Jess hated Dan's familiar. It was like this blood sucker thing because he's a necromancer. And she kept referring to it as butthole monster. So that's what that's about.
Okay, gotcha. AKD just wants to confirm how good Etrian Odyssey 4 is. Zach Hinkle says, rank the best Game Boy RPGs, all eras. Oh, gosh. I've been waiting for this question my whole life.
Yeah, whenever I saw that, I was like, oh, well, I'll just probably let Jordan take the reins on that.
Going off the top of my head, I'm not looking at a list here or anything, so there's probably going to be stuff I miss. But
Are you including ports?
No ports. I mean, maybe I'll include Breath of Fire 1 and 2 as an honorable mention because I first played them on the Game Boy Advance, and they're the games that got me into the Super Nintendo after I played them on my GBA, which is my favorite console now. So they got honorable mention. Number one would be Pokemons.
Yeah! I'm so proud of you.
Number one are Pokemons, because they're amazing RPGs, and they're incredible, and they pretty much defined the Game Boy in general.
They are probably, like, that and, like, Tetris are, like, the biggest reasons that we have handheld gaming machines.
Oh, seriously, yeah. I'm not sure if he's wanting me to, like do DS, but I'm not going to, because you said Game Boy, son. Let's see. Number two, I'm going to say Golden Sun 1 and 2.
Oh my god, we have the same list.
Because those games are really, really, really good and really fun. And just really solid RPGs all around. I love those so much.
Completely agree.
And, gosh, man, those are good games. And also, Golden Sun was the first Game Boy Advance game I ever owned. And it was like, holy crap, I'm playing a PlayStation RPG on my Game Boy. Which was, like, blowing my mind as a kid. Because the only, you know, RPGs I had played before that were my next games. Which are the first Saga games. Final Fantasy Legends 1 and 2 and 3. And I really love those games. Some people don't, but I really do. And I would say they're my number 3s. And, push those back to number 4. Number 3 is the first Seiken Densetsu Final Fantasy Adventure, which is an incredible game, kind of like a Zelda-style thingy. And
a Zelda-styled thingy.
It's like Zelda mixed with Final Fantasy, and it has like a super good story, and it's fun. So that one's number 3. And then Final Fantasy Legend 1, 2, and 3 are number 4. And, I don't know. Was there anything else?
I have one, then I forgot it. Was Final Fantasy Tactics I mean, that's kind of RPG, but that's strategy. No, that's more strategy.
It's a strategy RPG. We'll throw that in there, and we'll throw... go ahead and throw that in there. Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, except I liked Tactics Ogre, The Night of Lotus better for the Game Boy Advance. By the same dude. But and then Final Fantasy Tactics Advanced as well. Fire Emblem would come in there somewhere.
I'm trying to find my ROMs on my phone.
I'm going to go ahead and throw one port in here because it's kind of a remake. It's not really a port. And that is Dragon Quest III. Because that game blew my mind as a kid on the Game Boy Color. And in fact, got me to fall in love with the Dragon Quest series. And old school RPGs in general. So, there you go. I guess that's where I'll end it.
Could you include any of the Fire Emblem games? There's strategy RPGs.
Is it Fire Emblem after Tactics?
My bad.
Yep.
Well, the first one or Sacred Stone?
Oh, I don't know. Both.
I kind of like Sacred Stone better.
I kind of do too. It's a little easier.
Oh, what about Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga? Oh,
dang it! You're ruining my life. yeah, sure.
That's yeah, sure. I guess whatever.
It's a number on there that you. That is there, yeah, along with Sword of Hope and Great Greed, I guess.
Okay, so Matt Manver 1 asked us, yes, such a good Reggie icon.
Really? He's, you know.
His body is ready.
You know.
How many eShop games do you guys own? What is your fave eShop game? I have 23 or so, and my fave is Crimson Shroud.
That's a good question. How many do you have, Addison? You go first.
Well, when we say eShop, are we including DSi?
Sure, because we never had DSIs, so it counts.
I did. I had a DSi.
Wow, you're dumb.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
I know I'm dumb. Why can't I close this?
Oh my gosh, we forgot the best Game Boy Advance RPG of all.
What?
Mother 3.
Does that... I mean... didn't come here, though.
So? It's still a Game Boy RPG. And okay. I played it and beat it in English. Whatever. It gets honorable mention, I guess.
See, I have... I don't have a super accurate number because I've deleted some awful games and games that I just don't care about anymore. I would say 18 to 20.
Okay.
And as far as favorite goes...
Wait, including everything? 18 to 20?
I mean, it's not super accurate because I've deleted a bunch of stuff,
What about Virtual Console?
What? Oh, we're including those two?
Yeah, I would include that.
Oh, geez. Let's see. If we're counting Virtual Console, then like 42.
Nice.
I need a bigger SD card.
Yeah, you do. Let's see. Let's count mine. Okay, so eShop alone. Oh, wait, actually, 21. 3D Classics, I have four of those. So 25 eShop games. Then, like, I have... 19 DSi games on here. I deleted a bunch of the crappier stuff we got for review. I have 19 Game Boy games, 3 Game Gear, and then, you know, I have, what is it, 10 Game Boy Advance and 10 NES. So a bunch. I don't know. A lot.
What's your favorite?
Well, of course, my favorite's Crimson Shroud, like, by far. But
It's not my favorite.
Yeah. I would say my second favorite is Sakura Samurai, because I talk about Crimson Shroud a lot. But
my favorite is tennis.
Shut up. Do you actually own tennis?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I don't know. It's hard to say, but probably
didn't. We already recorded a whole episode about tennis.
Oh my gosh. I would hate myself. I would say...
No, we did that. We did record a whole episode about tennis.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
That wasn't the whole episode.
Well, that's what we titled it.
Yeah, that's true. Denpomin or maybe Mighty Switch Force. And I, Mighty Switch Force is only like, I feel like it only really gets that high up because I love the music so much. I mean, it's a great game, but man, that music.
Yeah. So you really like Dimpleman that much?
Yeah, I love that game.
It's just crazy. It's just not something I would picture you loving, but yeah, it's a good game.
Dude, don't you know that I love just strange, bizarre games like that?
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I love when games are just so freaking weird, and it's got the whole, it's got a little bit of a Pokemon vibe to it, and the dungeon crawling is fun, and
yeah,
it's got Pikmin kind of thing going on at the same time.
Did I tell you I discovered that there's way more stages than I thought?
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, there's a ton of, that game is huge. For $10, that game is gigantic.
It's not even $10, I thought it was cheaper than that.
I think it's 10, like flat $9.99. It might be $8.99, though.
Yeah, I think it might be $9.
But,
yeah, it's great. It's worth every single penny I bought.
Yeah, it's great. And it took me a little while to get into it, but I'm so stuck right now, though. I'm fighting this, like, ice boss, and he just destroys me every single time. And I think I just need to, like, suck it up and go, like, scan for more bros.
Yeah.
I should do that while I'm on my bus route.
Every time I'm, like, somewhere new, I always just forget.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even talk about me driving a bus. Or
oh, yeah.
Being a bus aide.
I want you to tell the story about preschoolers and their coats and stuff.
Okay, I'm only going to do it, and then we close the show out.
Okay.
So, you know, you can find me on Twitter at Jackal27. Whatever.
Oh, we're going to close it out now?
No, we're just, we do it every episode. So this episode, we're just going to say, Twitter, you can follow us there, and you can subscribe on iTunes.
No.
Why? It takes like 10 minutes.
It doesn't take 10 minutes. Check this out. I am Addison. You can follow me on Twitter at Addison_L. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Pocketoid. We have a Tumblr. It's pocketoid.tumblr.com, pocketoid.blogspot.com for our website. You can ask us some questions very easily. ask.fm/pocketoid. And now here's Jordan's bonus story.
Okay, so I've started, I don't know if it's a story, whatever. I've started working as a bus aide, as another part-time job, so I'm working two jobs now, which is why the last episode was a little bit late. Sorry, guys. And I'm working as a bus aide for preschool, so I buckle kids in on the bus, and I sing songs with them and stuff. It's funny because they're all 3 to 5 year olds. So like I was thinking, man, these kids are gonna think like singing songs are stupid, that it's for babies. No, they freaking love it because they're 3 to 5 year olds. Like they don't know that it's not cool yet. Even the kids that try and act like tough and cool, no, they think it's like. Like, we'll start singing Old MacDonald, and they're just like, yes, finally, this is so awesome. Waiting all day to sing Old MacDonald.
This is the best part of the day.
Yes. So today I started singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm, and I started picking weird animals, like Protoceratops and Platypus and Giraffe and Fish. And,
Could the kids say Protoceratops?
No. They would all be like on that farm you had a... So, I just love doing it. I just like messing with them. But then I just started doing Pokemon. And so we started... But it's easy, because they all knew, like... Pokemon just say their names. So, yeah. You know, just like say Charmander. They'll be like, with a Charmander here, and a Char-Char there, and all that crap. But they love that. It was great. But yeah. And like... I don't know. The job just like wears me out because like I thought it was going to be super easy because I only run like two routes every day, which actually ends up being about 4 or 5 hours. But when there's no kids on the bus, I can just like play my 3DS like on the bus and or like
while driving it, of course.
Do what?
While driving it, of course.
No, I'm not driving. I'm just the, just the bus aide. But so I can like play my 3DS on the bus if there's like, you know, no kids on it or whatever. And so, you know, but I thought it was going to be, like, you know, pretty relaxing, like, not that big of a deal. But these kids, like, if you've never worked with preschoolers before, they drain you of everything because they cannot function without you. Like, it's like this little person that can't make any decisions on their own. And, like, every conversation wears you out because the whole time you're, like, trying to figure out what they're saying to you. And they're crazy. And so, like, and I told them today, like, that if there was a, you know, like if there was a coat dropping league, that they would be my A team. Constantly, they're just like, Mr. Jordan, I dropped my coat on the ground. Mr. Jordan, I dropped my name tag under my seat. Mr. Jordan, he took my gloves. Just constant, constant, constant.
Oh man,
I'm gonna have
little kids.
I have a feeling I'm gonna have a lot of stories from that.
I can't wait.
For instance, the first day I arrived, the first thing a kid ever said to me was, this little boy was like, where's your truck? And I was like, I don't have a truck. He's like, you're a man. You have a truck.
He has a point.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just stuff like that all day long. What was it? There's the McDonald's here in town burnt down yesterday. Mm-hmm. Caught on fire and burnt to the ground. And that's like the biggest news in town today. But all the kids, you know, they're all like, wah, talking about it all day. And one
Where
kid
will we start... get Happy Meals?
Huh?
Where will we get our Happy Meals?
Yes. Like one kid said to me, like, because the play place didn't burn down. He's like, well, the play place is still up. Why isn't it open? Then another kid was saying, like,
he has a good point.
Yeah.
You should just go in there and play on it.
The other kids were like, what was it? One of them was saying, like, the kids were all trying to figure out why it burnt down, and they were all making up all these stories. And one kid above everybody just starts yelling, no, no, the reason it burnt down was because there was these bad guys, and they were in McDonald's, and they were fighting on the tables, and the bad guys blew up McDonald's, and the good guy walked away from the explosion.
Yes.
And then he said, or maybe the good guy had a sword that was on fire and fighting the bad guys, and his sword got stuck in the wall, and the walls caught on fire.
Oh, man. I miss being a little kid so much.
And we're all, like me and the bus driver, just sitting there with our mouths open, just like...
That kid's my favorite.
Yep. That's my life now.
If I were you, I would have just started making up stories, too.
Yeah.
I would have been like, no, no, you guys didn't watch the news, did you? There was totally this giant robot, and it was fighting this giant monster from space, and it shot a missile, but the missile was so low to the ground and so big that the exhaust and fire coming out of it that was propelling it just happened to catch the McDonald's on fire.
That's the thing about these little kids, though, is when I say stuff like that, they look at me for a split second like, is he telling the truth? He's a grown-up, and he knows everything. And so they'll just look at me, and then they'll be like, nah.
I would just ruin those kids. I would just be like, no, I'm telling the truth.
I love making up arbitrary games for them to play to get them out of my hair. I'll be like, okay, I'm going to count you guys, because it'll be super loud. I'll be like, okay, you have 10 minutes. See who can count the most animals. And you have to count to yourselves, and then everybody's just, like, dead silent for 10 minutes. And I'm just like, oh, thank God. But, no, it's fun.
There's no way they're silent for 10 minutes.
No, not really. I mean,
I was going to say, that never works. It works for, like, 30 seconds, and then they're like,
keep saying, use your inside voices. Keep your hands to yourself.
Have you had
it's
any
not
kids?
Like to pinch Ashley in the face.
Have you had any kids that are like, why? Why? Why?
They're not quite there yet. There's one kid who's pretty rebellious, but he's not that bad. You know, there's one kid named Darius who has a really awful home life who likes to kick and punch and cry and hide under the seat any chance he gets. But, you know, whatever.
Hiding under the seat's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's really fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
We did it.
See you guys next week.
Okay, love you. Bye.